A fresh new year has begun, and if you're setting new goals for your business, it's extremely difficult to reach them without the right people on your team.
Pero güey, con ganas nos están pagando.
Ah, shit. And ZipRecruiter has transformed how you go about finding them.
That's right. ZipRecruiter posts your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click.
Then ZipRecruiter actively looks for the most qualified candidates and invite them to apply.
No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results.
And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos.
Ay, Fabi, esta maldita lluvia me está desquiciando and I'm starving.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you are in luck, my friend.
Why?
Because guess what, Mimi?
What?
I have blueapron.com delivered, rain or motherfucking shine.
Yes.
And you know what I cooked yesterday? Let me just tell you a little teaser.
Okay. Dime.
Beef medallions and mushroom sauce.
That sounds...
Get into it.
Legit.
Okay, so you have two choices.
Uh-huh.
I still have... General Tso's chicken.
Uh-huh.
Or Tso's.
Sao.
No lo conozco. Sas o Tso's? Sas, I don't know.
Ya tu Tso. Ya tu Tso.
Oh, maybe it's Portuguese.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Or pork chorizo tacos. Your choice.
Let's go get some tacos, bitch.
Okay. Well, I cannot wait to make these tacos. Because I've never made tacos with Yukon Gold potatoes before or with cabbage. So this is going to be a new experience for us all.
God bless. And Blue Apron is treating Latinos Who Lunch listeners to a $30 off your first order if you visit blueapron.com/Latinos.
So check out this week's menu and get your $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/Latinos.
Blue Apron.
A better way to cook. Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
El sol brillará mañana. Guara guara la cuchara mañana. Sale el sol. Hello, hello, hello.
Kasho, kasho, kasho.
How you doing, Babelito?
I should have fixed my microphone before. Mm-hmm. I'm all right. I am with the anxieties of before entering the semester.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, my stomach is in knots. But that's just my system saying, do not work.
But how are your bowel movements?
My bowel movements are better than ever because of
what?
That. Yeah! But I'm all right. I'm ready to leave this town for a couple days. How are you?
I'm good. It was been a weird fucking beginning of the year.
Oh, fuck, I know.
But I feel like finally today is like the reset. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Today is the beginning of the rest of our lives. So, you know, I've said that every day since New Year's, but
like since we started this podcast,
today is the day. Write it down, everybody.
So just as a quick announcement to everybody, we are starting to change the format of our podcast. This is going to be basically, remember the episodes where we just title them Guara Guara La Cuchara, I guess it's one, where we just catch up. We just like try to find out what we're doing, what's going on in our lives. So instead of mordidas, now we're going to do Guara Guara La Cucharas. That's not the official title, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So 1 week is going to be Guara Guara La Cuchara, catching up, because Favi Fav is an international renowned artist and he's traveling all over the world. And mm-hmm. we need to catch up once a week. And then the following week is going to be the regular format when we interview people. We're going to try to bring you more specific theme episodes because a lot of you have been asking for them. So we are revamping a couple of things, but it's still us talking bullshit and loving our listeners.
Oh,
hasta
parece que lo leí.
Qué lindo. So yeah, so this is a Guara Guara La Cuchara episode.
Okay. Okay. So speaking of mm-hmm. cucharas, actually that was a really bad segue.
Let's do it.
But let's talk about those arepas we ate.
Oh my god.
I don't know if anybody saw the Instagram, but so there's this new arepa spot.
We should have saved those.
Right. I saved one of them.
Okay.
Right by my house.
The studio.
Right by right by Latinos Who Lunch headquarters and an undisclosed location.
Uh-huh.
And so I took Pablito there uh-huh. and we had a perico, which is like
it's not cocaína.
It's an arepa con huevo.
Y queso y chile y cebolla. Mm. No, not chile. Y cebolla y tomate.
Yeah.
Mira, la probé.
Ugh.
Y caí en un abismo de pasión.
Okay.
It was so good. Y la señora, she was like the best, but like the shadiest, right?
Yeah, she would say very nice things and then she would say shit like...
Yeah, like, ay, ¿quieren agua? ¿Por qué tan saludables? And I'm like... Bitch, I don't know you. Like,
she's like, no quiero una empanada.
Yo no conozco tu vida sexual. Don't talk to me like that.
And while we were there, see, the first time I went there, they were playing Shakira videos.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And
she's
going to
be here on February 10th. Are you going to be in town?
Yes.
Let's go!
Mi nombre es Shakira, yo canto así. Awesome. Oh, okay, good. Waka waka.
Anyway.
So, oh my gosh, that's something to live for. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh, they were playing Despacito.
Over.
But not
the same, the original version.
Not the original version.
Not even the Justin Bieber version.
Covers of Despacito by people playing classical instruments.
It was a fucking nightmare. It started with an arp, but the harp.
Arpa.
The harp lady, she la tenía montada la cintura, and she was dressed in her workout clothes in a hotel room.
Can I talk? That looks so fucking sketchy.
It was so weird. And you know, that's not the fucking weirdest part is this is the second time I hear a harp version of Despacito. We heard it in an opening at school.
Bitch, you're so cultured. You're just hearing harps play Despacito everywhere.
Oh my god.
Wow. Mess.
So that was the first version. The second version was like this multi synthesizer piano thing. It was really good. So we didn't add it to the Instagram story. And then the third version was Despacito con el saxophone.
Alto sax, yes.
Ay, no mames.
En una quinceañera or something.
No, it was like a amenizando la cena, you know, like in some like boo boo restaurant.
It didn't end.
And then con flauta. Ay, Dios mío. I feel like that's how I would feel when I get a root canal. That's sort of same pain.
I felt like I was being punished. And I didn't, you know, when you get in trouble when you're little and you don't know why?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it felt like in there.
But that's a testament of how good those arepas were.
You know, shout out to that place because...
Whatever the name is,
because if... I don't know. To me, as soon as I walked in, I knew it was going to be bomb.
Because it smelled amazing.
Right? What was that smell? What? Can we talk about that smell? What was it?
It's called Carps Girl. That's what it smelled like.
It was fried food.
Yes.
I don't eat fried food. I'm from Chicago. But I think it was like the mixture... of like the old people in there, like their perfume, the cologne, the whatever they used to wash.
The pictures of the city.
The pictures of the city, you know, somebody, a family member doing their taxes in the corner.
Yes.
You know, it was just...
It's the perfect combination.
Beautiful. Es que usan bleach para lavar todo, creo.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag bleached.
Hey, Kirsten.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, very exciting this weekend. Our Coma Luis came to Las Vegas.
And we had a gay old time. We first hang out at my parents' house because my parents love Luis.
Dude.
And Luis loves my parents and my aunt because my aunt makes Luis laugh a lot.
Your family is fucking hilarious.
My family is the shit. I was like, va a venir Luis. He's like, pues vamos a hacer una discada.
Okay.
20 people later.
Let's talk about a discada. What is a discada?
We talked about a discada in the podcast, but bitch, it was like 50 remember. Episodes.
I can't remember yesterday.
It was like 80 episodes.
What is a discada?
So a discada is this, I'm going to say northern thing, but people can contradict me. I'm doing this thing.
I see
like
your hands.
George.
See me with them.
It's like a big walk. But it's like a very Mexican walk. So the walk has walls.
Como la señora en la plaza en Puebla que hace las chalupas.
Ándale, güey. Mm-hmm. Pero la señora de la plaza de Puebla, it's more walk.
Más onda.
Con más onda. No estás sola. No, but it's more like a walk. And this has like walls.
Yeah.
So you can push shit to the side.
Oh, I see.
So it starts with a lot of... This is como la hace mi papá.
Wait, so it's like a big disc. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of like what people make paella in. No? See?
Yes.
Imagine
yes,
like a big yes. disc, but then there's propane underneath.
Yes.
With the flame underneath uh-huh. to heat
so
up the
whole
So
think
disc.
About a wok and a paella disc put together in the street.
In
the garage
in, the garage. In your garage.
So it's called discada because it's un disco, right?
Sí.
So it starts with bacon and tienes que dejar que toda la grasa salga.
Para que salga all the fat.
That shit. Like my dad was putting bacon. He's like, we need more grease. So I went to the store to go get more bacon because we're expecting
a lot of
people.
You didn't just buy a block of lard like my grandma does?
Should have.
She's no. like, here, let me fix these frijoles. Boom! Oh my god. Being and vegan and Mexican is fun.
It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then
okay, tocino is
pues. Tocino. And then when you get all the grasa, then you add the vegetables so they can soak in all that
okay.
grease.
I did not taste any vegetables in there.
Chile, tomate y cebolla.
Oh, pues es okay.
And then you add the meat.
And ¿Qué es carne molida o carne
no,
como?
No, como bistec, okay. cortadito en
Chopped
pedazos.
Chopped really small.
And then un chingo de chorizo. Mm. And some people add weenies to it.
Bitch.
But we don't do weenies. Like, we are respectable human beings. Says, jamón. Some people le echan jamón también. Jamón. Mira los chilotes.
I don't know why you're... No le ponemos weenie. Bitch, you're the one that... You're the one that puts bologna on the stove and mayonnaise on it.
How was that burrito de Winnie en Juárez?
That was the bomb. I'm not going to lie.
Te dejó sin aliento.
Bitch, it left me without a heartbeat for a minute. It really took my breath away.
Anyway, so that's what it is. And you cook it for hours. So my dad adds Lagunitas, Indian Pale Beer, because you know, that's his
Because he
recipe.
Supports NPR.
Because he supports local business, because there's a factory of that here.
Oh, okay.
And then...
you know that's just Miller, right?
Cállate.
Okay, sorry.
And no le digas.
Okay, I won't.
And then a shot of tequila.
For good luck.
God knows why.
Yeah.
But you tasted those tacos.
Mm.
They were fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, la discada fue la excusa to have La Coma over, and which is like, by the time we got to the club, I was lit. I was so drunk already.
Okay. Can we talk about this club? Okay. Las Vegas. I mean, I love my town. You know that. I love you, Las Vegas. Pero, the drag queens at the club that we went to, they were kind of lazy, except for like one.
And we're not going to say names.
We're not going to say any names.
Because we love you.
Because we love you. We love you, Puerto Rico. Wepa, wepa. But come on, at least know the words.
It was a little
It was kind of tragic, right?
And we were like waiting and waiting. I mean, I was still very happy because I see a drag queen and y se me ilumina la vida, but... Seriously, like when I was writing my dissertation, if I would have anxiety, I would just play videos of drag queens putting makeup for hours.
Oh my god!
And that was just like
that's so relaxing.
My soul. It is. Oh, I will love it. Do you like it. I'll be like, oh, that contour is
Do you like to watch James St. James, The Transformations?
No,
I haven't seen it. Do you ever watch that one? Oh my God, it's my favorite.
I just watched the Queens of RuPaul do that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But anyway, shout out to La Coma. The next day, he was super sick, and we just spent all day watching Almodóvar movies.
Yeah, but it was El Día de los Reyes, or what do you call it?
Así, El Día de los Reyes Magos. ¿Verdad? Yeah, but see, like, I'm from the north, so we didn't really celebrate that.
See, but I've always known, so...
Okay. No, me too. Because... I mean, we always cut the rosca, but we never got... So, the presents. Okay.
So according to the historical document called the Holy Bible, Jesus H. Christ was born.
As the caught up guy said, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly he was born.
Allegedly he was born on December 25th.
Allegedly.
0. And then... in the year 0. And then Jesus was chilling for a while.
For 12 days,
en un pesebre next to a donkey and a mule and a cow.
Y un dinosaurio.
And a dinosaur.
Uh-huh.
I saw that there was a pterodactyl like guarding the pesebre.
According to your grandma.
That's why there's never chickens in El Nacimiento, because that Porque pterodactyl was like. So then.
Ay, el borrego. No faltan los borregos.
Sí, uh-huh. Sí, okay. And then. There were some camels, right? There had to be camels.
Yes. But that's not true.
According to my grandma's nacimiento, there was also some Hot Wheels cars there. There was horses. definitely a couple of velociraptors.
Marcos.
Tigers. Lions, tigers, and bears.
Diosito santo.
Yeah.
So it's all the ecosystems in one
single nacimiento. Yeah, it was like Noah's Ark. I think my grandma's Bible, the pages got glued together.
Porque alguien se lo and she thinks jalando. It's like
Larca. Oh my God. Emmanuel, ten un poco de respeto, por favor. Okay.
I'm sure there's some right wingers that do that. So whatever.
Jerk off on the Bible? Wait, don't say that.
Pues es que les encanta ese pedo moralista. Anyway, so what's next?
Well, Noah was kind of hot. So, okay. What are we talking about?
There was this
big ass star, right? Uh-huh. And it was in the north. Era
la estrella de Belén.
Yeah. La estrella de Belén. Anyways.
Finish your story, bitch.
I forgot what I was talking about. And then the Reyes Magos showed up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
it was. Se llama la niña, la pinta y la Santa María.
Yeah.
Same principle.
One of them's black, one of them's white, and one of them's Asian, right?
I think it's sure.
Anyway, they met at an AA meeting somewhere in Jerusalem, and they're like, dude, we should do something with our lives. And he's like, yo, I got some incense, I got some myrrh. What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Mirth, myrrh.
Y el white la cago. Ay, yo traigo oro.
Ay, y joyas, y no sé qué.
Ay, sí, verdad.
He was gay. So, okay, so that happened on January 6th, right? Uh-huh. And I've always known that because. My Mexican grandma was adamant. Like, we cannot take the Christmas tree down.
Hasta el 6.
We can't take the lights off because how are the Reyes Magos going to find Jesus if we don't have lights. Our string lights up, mm-hmm. right? So that's all we did. We never ate the, ¿cómo se dice?
La rosca.
La rosca. What? Yeah.
You read about la rosca. I forget what it meant. La rosca represents the crown, no? Of the los Reyes.
Yes.
And the dry fruit is the jewels.
Yes, and this
and the little baby inside is like Aztec sacrifice.
Oh, bitch! Shut up! Oh my God! No, no, because it's round, it represents like your faith.
Oh, infinite faith.
Infinite faith.
Ah,
yeah, and then you cut it because you get real. You're like, I don't have any faith, and then you cut the rosca, and then there's like a fetus in there.
Y te sale el monito. Yeah. But so okay. You get the little monito. You have to do the tamalada, which is like a fiesta on February something.
So wait, let me explain it again. La rosca is bread, like a loaf, mm-hmm. made in a circle.
Sabe a pan de muerto.
No, está más rico el pan de muerto.
No, always.
Really?
Each one, because rosca has, if you get the right size, if the right piece, it's like a concha con pan de muerto. That shit is good.
Bitch, you better shut up. My mouth just watered.
Oh, man. Anyway, so if you get the monito...
Nothing like a concha muerta.
Estúpida. So if you get the monito, you're supposed to celebrate the presentation of Jesus in the temple. And that's when people, los mexicanos, hacen una tamalada. So you have to make the tamales. So people dread getting the monito. But my sister always gets it and she always comes through. Shout out to City.
I got it this time too.
I love you.
Well, this is the first time I've ever done it.
You got a monito? Oh,
yeah, I have to send your sister money via PayPal para la tamaleada. Because I won't be in town, unfortunately.
So that was fun, but we were dead. We were so tired from the night before. We're just cutting like zombies.
Yeah.
And then we came home and we watched some Almodovar and we got high. Do not do drugs. Illegally, people out there in other states that it's not legal. Mm-mm. And it was beautiful.
Yeah. It was a fun weekend.
Yeah.
We miss you, Luis. If you don't know who Luis is, you probably don't listen to this podcast. Because we talk about him every fucking
All the fucking time.
But he has a really cool podcast called Nos Vemos en el Swap Meet. Check it out.
Está lit.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Los Globos de Oro?
Sí, sí los vi. Yeah. I love Laura León. No, the Golden Globes.
What do you think of all those hypocrite Hollywood people wearing black and being so celebrated for it?
You know what? You want to know something?
Wow.
You want to know something?
Ow.
I don't know.
Agarra aire, mujer.
I know.
Respira.
I have a lot of things to say, but I think in the grand
scheme of things,
it's a great thing.
Yeah,
it's a good thing that we're talking about
it. It's visibility for a fucked up shit.
It's good that people are being called out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought it was weird that Seth Meyers was the host. Like, it could have been a woman, you know? Like, there's so many qualified women for that. I think that's why they had Oprah there. I mean, it's not why they had Oprah. I know she's been selected to win that award for a long time. But, ugh. I mean, that worked out perfectly for them. But
what is this whole talk about her being president?
I will say that Seth Meyers is a great host.
Like, really?
He did a really great job.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. Because he went there with the jokes. I thought they were just kind of going to gloss over everything.
Yeah.
But he was talking about Kevin Spacey, Harvey Weinstein, all those people. Like, there was no mercy.
But I feel like the Golden Globes, it's for that. That's when the host, like, can get because in the Oscars, they never do. They never do it. It's the Golden Globes when it's like,
it's a little bit more informal.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody wore black in solidarity, which I thought was like, okay.
Sure.
That's cool.
Great.
Yeah. And I just thought that was weird because all the men usually wear black anyways to those award shows. So I thought that was an interesting choice. Because of that.
One of the kids from Stranger Things, he was wearing blue. I'm like,
oof,
boy, you should fire your fucking...
your publicist.
Yes.
Yeah. So then, okay. So it was Seth Meyers and then King Oprah did his big speech. And what do you think of that speech?
I didn't hear the whole thing. I mean, it's what people want to hear, and white people love that shit. So of course everybody's gonna love it. I mean, she's amazing. Don't get me wrong, and I want her to be my president.
Mira yo,
pero
can you imagine?
She knows how to do.
Can
a speech,
you
though?
Imagine if Oprah Winfrey was president of the United States?
Oh my God! I mean, Donald Trump did it, so anybody else can do it after that.
Okay. White women love Oprah.
I mean, if she runs, she will win. Punto.
So, done.
Yeah.
Done.
Que no se haga pendeja, güey. She should run.
She could do it. But she's probably tired, dude. No, she works a lot.
And she's young and she's beautiful. She should just go for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Oh, my
know.
Gosh.
I mean,
she would hate staying at the White House,
What do you think? What do you think of the speech?
It was powerful. Yeah. It was Oprah. It gave me, we talked about it on the show before, but I used to watch Oprah religiously when I was in high school, even before that. I watched all those talk shows. I remember I would like race from school so I could watch the Rosie O'Donnell show, Ellen, and then Oprah or something. Yeah. Oh, maybe Ellen wasn't there yet. But I don't know. I mean, she's qualified. She's qualified to be president.
I mean, anybody's qualified
after this.
After this, yeah.
Yeah.
So you listen, I don't want to throw shade to Oprah and her speech. It's powerful.
Yeah.
Wara wara la cuchara. But I'm always cautious, no matter who it is, no matter where you come from, when you do a speech that it's pointed towards white people. Like, I'm always cautious. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why I'm just like, It's like when Chris Rock did the Oscars, and it was like, you're entertaining this, like, white supremacy home. Like, I'm not impressed with your fucking mild race jokes. Like, I'm cautious. It's awesome. It's great. I'm glad, like, people are talking more about that speech than any other dude in that fucking award. But I'm just cautious of that. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, Oprah's been in the game for so long that...
She knows exactly what to say.
She knows exactly what to say. Yeah. And she knows... I mean, she's a billionaire. And she's a billionaire because she gets money from all demographics. So she knows how to play everyone.
She should run.
And I think that... Her speech was powerful. It's what everybody wanted to hear and more. And I think that, you know, it's this game that people of color have to play. Like, they can't be too radical because then they get shut down and killed, right? or put into jail, right?
That's exactly my
so
point.
So Oprah toes the line. She doesn't really say anything too crazy, but... There's a lot of statements that she makes that tienen como doble sentido. You know what I mean? Because she can't say exactly what she means.
But I feel like if Oprah cannot say it, then none of us can. Do you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, if she's on the fucking top, she's getting the biggest award, and this is her moment. If she doesn't go for it, if she doesn't really go for it, that none of us will ever be able to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or when we do it, it's still going to be a struggle. Or people are not going to listen to us. But if she would have just come for it and just go for it, imagine. If this was powerful, imagine if she would have just cut throats all over that fucking room. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oof. But then I think she wouldn't have had the position of running for president.
That's true.
So maybe this is her, like...
strategy.
Strategizing.
Pues quién sabe, güey. Quién sabe.
That would be so exciting, dude.
Oprah running for president? I mean, she will just win.
Punto. Yeah. But anyways...
And then one more thing about the gloves. The Natalie Portman comment. ¿Por qué cierra los ojos?
We can't have anything, dude. There's so many layers to that. So if you guys don't remember, Natalie Portman was Natalie Portman and the Andy Griffith Show kid.
And some dude.
¿Cómo se llama? Opie.
Some white dude.
He's a famous director now. Fuck. That ginger. Oh my God. ¿Cómo se llama el güey?
Ay, no importa.
Ron Howard. So her and Ron Howard were standing there, and instead of saying, and the award for best director goes to, she said, and the award for best male director goes
all
to.
All male director, yeah.
All male, yeah, so.
No, she's like, all male director category is, or something. Yeah. Something like that.
Whatever, yeah.
And of course, that was it. And a Mexican fucking won a Golden Globe. And nobody gives a fuck. Because that's how white feminism works. Like, primero mis dientes y luego mis pinches parientes. So it's like, it doesn't matter the visibility of anybody else. It doesn't matter who we stepped on. And that's from the 19th century to the early 20th century voting rights for women. No importa what they have to do as long as they're on the top. We have to remember that white women have a lot of power. They put that president where he is right now. And that's how it fucking works.
Damn.
So when I heard fucking Natalie Portman said that and then forget about a fucking Mexican winning an award, which doesn't happen every day in Hollywood, I was like, fuck this shit. I'm done with these awards. Like, I'm done. But I can't wait for the Oscars.
Well, you know, you're such a... So, you know, I agree with you on that, but I also am on like woke alert. You know what I mean? Like when people are too woke and they're thinking about that.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, I understand, but I also get Natalie Portman's side.
No, I totally get Natalie Portman's side, but it's just like, it was, to me, that night was a display of white women feminism.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to dismiss
okay.
bringing this issue to the forefront because it's fucking important and I'm so happy that it's happening every single day on the news. However, we cannot forget about intersectionality, man. Like, we cannot.
Absolutely. So I think that this is the first step.
Mm-hmm.
to a true, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I don't care, a true women's movement. Because the original women's movement that we learn about in school...
It served one group.
It was a white women's movement. Mm-hmm. And I feel like what I saw at the Golden Globes was unity between all women.
That's
it was
true.
Intersectional.
That'll give you. Yeah.
Yes, you think it was... I mean, you. Most of them were white women because it's Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's who was there. But if you saw in the audience... I mean, Oprah was sitting front and center. Sure, Oprah's like... OJ, she transcends race sometimes mm-hmm. because that's how people see her. I mean, that's not what I think, but yeah, I'm just saying that's what people say.
Yes, I'm glad you're clarifying.
I'm clarifying, bitch, because I don't want anybody coming for me. But I feel like I actually had a conversation with shout out to Javier, who is Nat's husband
mm-hmm.
from the podcast Morado Lens.
Shout out.
We were talking about that. Like, I feel like this is truly the beginning of another women's movement, of the intersectional women's movement, which is really exciting.
But,
I mean, exciting is a stupid word. Like, yay, I'm so excited. Yeah. But like, which is necessary. That's what I'll say.
There's just so much shit happening in this country. And of course, an award ceremony is not the place, I guess.
No,
to
but
bring
wait.
Forward, but I mean, to bring, I have this thought.
Yes.
To bring forward all these issues, but there's just so many other things I also want to see in the forefront. But because they don't involve white women, they're not.
Right.
They probably won't for a long time. That's my issue. Not solidarity, not that it actually happened. I'm glad it's happening. I'm glad everybody wore black. This is a beautiful thing, but... Imagine everybody wearing fucking, I don't know, red for DACA for one award. How beautiful would that fucking be?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or with the what's happening with fucking Salvadorians right now, that they want to fucking kick them out.
Yeah.
One award. That's not going to happen because it doesn't involve them. And that's how white feminism has always worked in this country. I know it's two dudes talking about this shit and we're not even experts. So right away, maybe we're problematic, but that's just what I think.
Yeah, we are. But, I mean, big shout out to whoever invited the originator, a black woman of the Me Too movement, Tarana Burke,
mm-hmm.
because...
She was there?
She was there.
Oh, that's good.
She was there.
That's awesome.
Okay?
That's awesome.
And, I mean, imagine if you were a woman. Imagine if you were a little girl, okay, when we were growing up, mm-hmm. right, in the 80s, 90s. They weren't doing this on TV at award shows.
Yeah.
I used to watch the award shows when I was a kid.
Oh
my God. if I was a little girl and I saw the Golden Globes now.
Yeah, it's a powerful thing.
It would change my life. It would change the way that I thought. And when I got my first job and somebody grabbed my ass, I would be like, whoa. You know, like,
estúpida mi pelo.
No, this isn't right. Instead of just being quiet, like we're taught to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Calladita se ve más bonita.
So you touched a little bit on our Salvadorian cousins. What's going on? So, I mean, I read a little bit about what's going on. Our president is taking away the temporary protection status for Salvadorians.
Yeah, it says that nearly 200,000 Salvadorians must leave. And I think the thing is that this is a program that has been going on, I think, since 1990. I think Bush started it. And countries that have gone through a lot of political turmoil, mostly like civil war status, countries that are going through, that have been ravaged by natural disasters, then they can find refuge in the United States. However, that stuff gets renewed almost in, I think sometimes it's 6, 12 to 18 months. And of course, it's Trump, so he was not going to renew the protection for Salvadorians. But the political turmoil in El Salvador has a lot to do, to begin with, because of the United States. They're the ones who basically funded the civil war that started in the 1980s.
Shout out to Hillary Clinton.
Exactly. I mean, we talked about it with in the episode when we talked with our friend in Tegucigalpa. The same thing happened in Honduras, and the same thing happened in South America, in Chile, Argentina, you name it. So the United States goes there, makes a mess, the country becomes a mess after that, and then you have poverty, you have violence, and then you're like, we don't want you here anymore, even though we're the ones who caused all this mess in your country.
And bitch, we gave you pupusas.
Exactly.
I went to my local 7-Eleven. Respect. I went to my local 7-Eleven yesterday, and there was a quesadilla there. A Salvadorian quesadilla. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
The round breads?
Yes.
7-Eleven makes those here. What an impact.
Hallelujah.
Central Americans have made on this country.
True, man. I mean, in... Like, I don't even like to talk about this shit because it's the same always. And we can talk about being aware, but what are we doing? Like, call your senator, write a letter. Like, let's do something about it because this shit happens all the time. And this is something that has actually come to the forefront because obviously we are not hearing other shit that the government is doing at the same time, right? But imagine all the shit that doesn't come through. Imagine everything that the government is doing that we don't find out till 20 years later when some historian goes into the vault and finds all this bullshit, you know?
That's exactly what I thought when I heard that they raised like something like $16 million with the Time's Up movement. That's like the Me Too. Mm-hmm. Time's Up is like this fund for women women that can't afford to sue their abusers, attackers, or whatever, to help them. And as soon as I said that, I thought in my head, like, yeah, people still don't have water in Flint. Puerto Rico still, there's people without houses in Puerto Rico.
That's not to take away from this necessary. things. Yes, it's important that the money is raised for those victims, right? But there's just so much. There's so much going on, and it's impossible. But I just wish that our people will be more visible to everybody else.
Yeah.
That's all. And we talk about visibility, and we fight about who's in what TV show and TV role and this and that. Yes, it's important, but this is also part of those consequences of not being visible, that we don't fucking matter sometimes. Not sometimes, a lot of the times.
Yeah.
What a great start to 2018.
No, you know what? I'm glad we're airing this shit out, you know, because it's not good to keep shit inside. And it's like, it's very frustrating, you know, and then it's like, what can we really do?
Yeah.
I mean, then you become that crazy person that's like out in the street holding signs like 9/11 was an inside job. You know what I mean? Like that's what happens.
Yeah.
So you have to. You have to stay grounded somehow.
Self-care, people.
And
it's teaching that Latin American contemporary art class really...
That you taught last semester?
Yeah, like it really opened my eyes. It was like, I've known about these things, but then seeing the art as a consequence to the U.S. involvement in all of these military regimes throughout Latin America?
Yeah.
Oof. Like, it really struck a nerve, and it also did it in my students. So, that's all I can do for now.
Yeah.
And complain in my podcast.
Holy shit. Well, you know, since I got Oprah on the mind, I can't stop thinking about her. And I talked about it on a previous episode, but I just want to remind everybody. I watched this YouTube video yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I'm feeling low, people... This changes your motherfucking life, okay? Google, mira, métete a la computadora, súbete al Google, and go to YouTube and type in Oprah Winfrey's Legends Ball. And there's this clip of all these legends in Oprah's backyard from the early 2000s. And they're having this big gospel brunch or something. And they start singing gospel music. And Dionne Warwick is there. Mariah Carey, Chaka Khan, Gladys Knight, Shirley Caesars, greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes. She's there. And the spirit, I don't know what spirit, but the spirit shows up and shows out. And it's amazing. And one of my favorite live performers closes the whole thing.
Patti LaBelle?
Patti LaBelle, baby. Patti! Oh, oh my God. Own.
Why did it end this way? Oh, man. Damn.
Remember when those came out? Everybody was going crazy. And now I went to Walmart during the holidays. And
there were tons.
Estaban hasta el
techo.
Hasta el techo.
Those are good. Have you tried them?
Yeah. They're all butter. That's why.
I remember I'm like, bitch, calm down. How good can this be? And then I took a bite and I'm like, oh my own.
Why did it end this way?
Patti! Patti! You know, he's I think, uno de los coristas de Toni Braxton.
No.
Mm-hmm. I follow him.
Well, all right. Yeah. ¿Cómo se llama? Something Chanel? James Saint? No.
James something.
James
Chanel. Green, greens, whatever. Potatoes, tomatoes.
Google him. Oh. All right. That was fun. Guara, guara, la cuchara.
That was... Este guara, guara, la cuchara estuvo muy intenso, güey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Good.
Good.
Good. I'm glad.
Okay, let's take a little break and then we'll come back with some recommendations. Oh, and some listener comments.
Comments.
Today's show is brought to you by the Nevada Museum of Art in Reno.
Arte por aquí, no arte por allá.
Hey!
Arte everywhere, everywhere.
Hey! Okay. Yeah, guys, we're going to be in Reno. Latinos Who Lunch is doing a lecture at the Nevada Museum of Art tomorrow, January 12th at noon. 2018.
Guara, la cuchara.
The lecture is called Views on Velasco. So, of course, you all know Dr. Babelito is a art history professor. And he's going to talk about the great painter, the master painter.
José María Velasco. Sí, señor. And we're going to talk about the involvement of Velasco with our ideas of the nation and how the art of Justin Favela has played a role in deconstructing some of those myths.
Yeah, that's my real name, guys, Justin Favela.
That's
so
right.
I have a piece in this really wonderful show curated by Joanne Northrup, and I think I'm gonna get in trouble for this. The famous
He did it.
White guy. ¿Cómo se llama? Robert
El de las gasolinas.
Shit, ¿cómo se llama el güey? Se me olvidó.
El de las gasolinas.
Robert Rauschenberg? Nope.
No.
Robert Irwin, no.
Tampoco.
Shit, I'm gonna have to cut this out.
Espérate. ¿Cómo se llama?
Oh my God. It's gonna come to me.
Déjame.
No, wait. I got it. Se llama... this is really unprofessional.
Ed Ruscha.
Damn, I wasn't even close. Ed Ruscha, I love his work. Ed, I love you.
Yes.
So, yeah, so one of my pieces is in that show. And so we're going to be there at noon. Join us.
Ya suelen, cáiganle, y después de ahí siguen las birrias and hopefully the drag queens.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Uh-huh. And we're back.
It's time for a comment/letter
slash
email from one of our listeners.
Well, this one comes from Cindy. And it's about our last episode, Radio Lonchea. Mm-hmm. I went on a bit of a rant, as I do sometimes,
mm-hmm.
about our friend Bel Caliz, a.k.a. Cardi B. And
Cardi Bacardi to Cardi.
Ow. And she says, enjoy the episode, but can we please stop reducing anyone who is critical to simply a jealous hater?
Can we start? What? Say that again.
She says, enjoyed the episode, but can we please stop reducing anyone who is critical to simply a jealous hater? It just dismisses what could be valid critiques and doesn't get us anywhere.
What is this listener referring to?
She's referring to me talking about Cardi B on the Jimmy Fallon show and how I think I said something like, all these YouTube commenters are just jealous haters.
Because they criticize her, because they're critical of her.
They are being critical of the way that she speaks and calling her stupid and uneducated.
Ooh, that's what you're referring to.
That's what I'm referring to. Okay. So I do agree with our listener, Cindy, but I don't think that a YouTube comment section is a place for valid critique.
Yes.
So that's who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And to the people that take the time to talk shit on YouTube comments.
Salgan del closet, culeros. No mamen.
Sí. Destápate.
Destápate. Te salte del closet.
No, oh, no, it goes the other way.
Atrévete.
Te salte del closet.
Destápate.
Quítate el del malte.
Deja retratarte. Oh, no.
No.
Anyway.
Girl, we need to go to sleep. But, yes, I agree. There is a place for critique. But it's just like people are just nasty, you know, on the internet.
I agree to a certain degree as well, because I've been thrown so much shade for being critical about our icons, starting with Frida Kahlo and ending with Valentina. Like, I cannot say anything about our icons because se me echan encima without any really critical feedback. So I agree with Cindy to a point, but at the same time, there's a lot of vacuous,
ooh, good word,
criticism out there that doesn't have a place anywhere, ni en el internet, ni en mi cerebro, ni en mi pinche órbita. So
yeah,
whatever.
Make that shmoney, Cardi B.
Yeah, keep producing those dollars because you are fucking fierce and I love you.
What do you think about that Bruno Mars thing she did?
Anyway.
You want to know something?
Ow.
I think it's cute.
I mean,
as the...
At the end of the day, she's like a highly produced singer. We cannot forget that. She's a product. Love her. Everything that represents, that she represents.
Officially, when she started working, when she did that song with Bruno Mars, I'm like, that's it.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, she crossed over.
I mean, she was in yeah. Love and Hip Hop. Like, it's mainstream right there. Like,
yeah.
So, with all of that aside, she's a badass.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, we love Beyonce and Here Comes the Stings. She's a product too, so...
Man, I want a Pepsi now. You're right. ¿Dónde está la Kendall?
¿Dónde está la Kendall con la Pepsi? La Pixie, la Pexi.
Relax. Drink a Pepsi, amigo.
Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, so do you have any recomendaciones, Babelequis?
Yes, ma'am. So I listened to the latest episode of Song Mess because everybody knows that I'm obsessed with them. And they recommended, they are starting to do como little mordidas, but they are highlighting just one artist. Yes.
Oh, one artist. Yes. Yeah.
So they highlighted Alex Ferreira. Y mira, lo escuché.
Y caíste en un abismo de pasión.
Me robó el aliento. And I was talking to Richard, and he's like, go listen to the album that he produced, that he did with El Frente Caribe. Dude, it's a little EP con bachata. It's just amazing. It's like a perfect little Caribbean jewel of an album.
That's awesome.
The name of the album is just Alex Ferreira y El Frente Caribe. That's all. So I don't even know if El Frente Caribe is like an actual band that he put it together with, but that's how it's called. It's Alex Ferreira y El Frente Caribe. The album came out in 2016. I'm a little late to the game, but from everything I heard from Alex Ferreira, this is my favorite stuff. So again, Alex Ferreira y El Frente Caribe. I cannot recommend it enough. He's becoming one of my favorite singer-songwriters from Latin America. And he's based in Mexico City, so it's awesome.
Damn. Cool.
Te toca.
Okay. I'm going to go back to my roots, you know?
Orale, güey!
Okay, I'm going to start just, I think I'm going to start just recommending podcasts, so.
Go for it.
I might have already recommended this, but I don't care, I'm going to do it again. Mm-hmm. But I finally, okay, can I just say, can I tell you, you want to know something? Okay, to all of our listeners and to all these podcasts that have started because of the hashtag support Brown podcast, hashtag support Latinx podcast, Podcasterio movement.
Uh-huh.
It is free. If you have a podcast on, let's say, Podbean or on Blueberry or on
SoundCloud,
you have an RSS feed, right? With that RSS feed, you can put it into multiple places so that your podcast can be heard everywhere, right? So when we started Latinos Who Lunch, that was the first thing we did is I said, okay, where do people listen to podcasts? And I had been listening to podcasts on Stitcher for years. So I just hashtag Googled it loca and I got an account on Stitcher, and it's free. You just put your feed in there and it gets approved. Same with Google Play. Same with TuneIn. Same with PodIn. Same with iHeartRadio. Same with Spreaker. Damn. Same with, there's a lot, right? I Googled all these places to see where people listen to podcasts, and we're on everything. And I even said at the beginning of our, when we started our podcast, mm-hmm. if you listen to podcasts on a platform that we're not on, please let us know and we'll try to get on there. So, si se puede. That's all I gotta say. It just takes a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And you get a wider audience. Like, since we've got on Google Play, our downloads increased by like 5%, you know? Yeah. So it does matter. There's a lot of people out there wearing white jeans and carrying Android phones. So, that being said, one of our really good buddies from LA, Iman, Emmanuel, and Didi, his tia.
Emmanuel número tres.
Yes. They have a podcast called El Kiosco.
Yes.
And I just found it on Stitcher because that's, I just love, I'm just, once I find a platform that I like, I stick to it. And they're not giving us any money, but the reason I like Stitcher is because they ain't trying to play you.
And it's easy.
Like Apple Podcasts that downloads like 50 podcasts, and then you have like 40 fucking gigs of podcasts
I have to
on your phone, and then it like crashes. So it's all streaming, and then you can download them if you want to, right? Mm-hmm. It automatically just streams. So
damn, we need Stitcher to sponsor us.
I know. Anyway, El Kiosco. Uh-huh. That being said, they're like their fourth episode in, and they're on Stitcher. I found them on there, and I'm so excited that they're on there. And I can listen to their shows anytime I want.
And if it's a testament to how wonderful and awesome they are, we had the best time at Tempo in LA with them. It was so lit,
como dice,
super califragilistico espiralilit. I love you guys. Oh. Good luck with your podcast. You guys are going to be amazing and everywhere.
I binge listen, girl. I binge listen.
Amazing shit.
And they're just so fun. I feel like I was hanging out with them. They're so fun. And I can't wait to visit them again. Didi's, I think, from San Diego, lives in San Diego. And then Iman is in the LA area.
I'm going to see Iman at the end of the month.
Hey, I'm so jealous. He's so nice.
I know. He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Shout out to y'all.
I almost said something, but I can't. Okay.
El Kiosco. That's the name of the podcast.
Yes.
Okay.
Wonderful recommendations this week.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for next week. We have a wonderful interview by a person that should have been in the podcast for a long time. It's a person that has supported us from the beginning at Fuentes. Check it out next week.
Ed, shout out to you.
Shout out Paint This Desert. Shout out everything. Yes.
Sa!
Sa! Marta! Sa!
And as always, visit us, latinoswholunch.com. Send us your voice memos, your emails, comments, concerns, but most specifically questions to latinoswholunch@gmail.com. We're gonna have a listener letter episode pretty soon,
and the more questions you send, the more juicy that listener letter episode is going to be. Así que mándelas, por favor.
What else am I saying?
Oh, and remember.
Please remember to review us on iTunes. If you've been listening to this podcast for free for a long time, that's the least you can do. Leave us a nice review. 5 stars.
5 stelle solamente.
Ah! Holy cannoli!
Italiano.
Wow! Oh my gosh.
Estaba pa'l tocayo.
Oh my gosh. Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And visibility is...
Esenziale.
I don't even know that's how you say it. Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela, Emmanuel Ortega. Our intern is Carla Rodriguez. Nope, Carla Lagunas. I'm racist.
Su pelo.
I know. And edited by Justin Favela. Our music is by Brownout. Uh-huh. Okay.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Oh, no, I was supposed to say, I'm Fabi Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.